Everybody get a handout this morning if you're turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6 in our continuing teaching on the book of Romans. We're going to go through Romans 6 today and trust that the Lord will give us clarity. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that your word is right and true altogether. Thank you, Father, that your word is the final authority on all things that we face, God. Thank you, Lord, that we have no recourse, God. We don't have anybody we can take your word to try to deem it if it's necessary or not, or if it's right or not, Father. You've established your word forever. It's the only truth that we have, God, and so we stand on it. Lord, we don't look to the left or to the right. We don't look for our own understanding, but we lean on yours in everything we do in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a group of scientists that got together and decided it was time for someone to go to God and tell him he wasn't needed anymore. And one of the scientists volunteered, and so he went to God and he said, God, you know, a bunch of us have been thinking, and I've come to tell you that we really don't need you anymore. I mean, we've been coming up with great theories and ideas. We've cloned sheep, and we're on the verge of cloning a human. So, as you can see, we really don't need you. And God nods understandingly, and he says, I see. Well, no hard feelings, but before you go, let's have a contest. What do you think? And so the scientist says, sure. Well, what kind of contest? And God says, a man-making contest. And the scientist said, sure, no problem. He bends down and picks up a handful of dirt and says, okay, I'm ready. And God says, no, no, no. You go get your own dirt. Hallelujah. Yeah. Children may be dismissed. I'm sorry, I forgot to do that this morning. Praise God. Go get your own dirt. Amen? Amen. God made everything. Yes. He stood on the porch of time and called worlds into existence. Is there anything too difficult for him? No. He's able. He is able. Well, the good news is this morning that the trial in heaven is closed now. There's no bickering. There's no fighting. There's no jury out. The judge is already, the gavel has come down. And the week before last, we talked in chapter 3, 4, and 5. We talked about the justification, the fact that God declared us righteous by the death and resurrection of Christ. When Christ hung on the cross and said, it is finished, that was the three greatest words that were ever spoke in the universe. And that is still going forth. That voice has never stopped. It is finished is something that we live under. So God is not judging us. We've already, those that don't know Jesus are already judged by their sin. And we who know Christ are already judged by his righteousness. Let me say it again. Those who don't know Jesus are already judged by their sin. They have recourse in accepting him, but those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ are righteous. And we're righteous through Christ. So the trial has been closed in heaven. And I know we've been kind of beating on the same drum here the last few weeks, but I'm telling you, if you can get this in your spirit and not struggle with this anymore in your soul, your mind, will, and your emotions, when you can, with your thoughts, you can come into line with the truth of God, you will live a victorious, overcoming life and be used in the battle that rages. For the victory is ours. And we need to begin to show that victory even in our community. Been doing a little studying about this great community that God sent me to. And my wife pointed out, I think Mick was the first one that mentioned that Lake Manitow actually means it used to be called the Devil's Lake. How many knew that? Y'all know that was called the Devil's Lake? It's on your sign right by the lake. If you go down, there's a thing there. It says the Indians believed there was a monster in the lake, and that it ate all the wildlife, and they believed it was a spirit. And then later on, when the settlers came in, they called it Devil's Lake. And so it's interesting that Rochester is called the fort or fortress, and the lake is called Devil's Lake. And so you can see the warfare there. So as we begin to pray as victors, we begin to silence that spirit that's still over Rochester, dividing. How many could see it? Come on. If you start beginning to pray and you see some of the churches that are divided and some of the area that's divided in this warfare that's going on, God is going to get the victory in Rochester. Amen?
Amen.
But the secret of the overcoming life that we live is not who we are or what we can become, but it is what Christ is, was, and will be. Righteousness does not come from our change in nature, the Word of God says. The Word of God says we're righteous because of Jesus Christ. Even in our new nature, we hide in Him and His righteousness because He's the only one accepted by God as the criterion for acceptance in the kingdom. The only one that's accepted before the throne of God is Jesus Christ. That's the gavel that came down and declared us righteous because now you and I are part of Jesus Christ. Romans 6 verse 1 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin." Now we're talking to a bunch of dead people this morning. New creations is what we are. Our life is in Him. Come on, somebody. The old man is dead. And what I want to talk about just a little bit this morning is the area that we create that does not exist. We talk about science fiction, man. We're the greatest science fiction people in the world. We create a place that does not exist in the mind of God or in His kingdom. If we agree with the word that goes around that says we're sinners and we're just saved by grace, I've heard it so many times, that's incorrect. I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm a new creation in Him. Come on, somebody. I have to continually program myself to believe that and to line up with His Word, because what I find is this war, and we're going to talk about it next week in Romans 7, one of the most misunderstood passages in the Word. We struggle with this whole thing of fighting the old man. I want to ask you something. Is it possible to have war with a dead person?
No.
Come on, somebody. We can't do it. The old man is dead. I don't care what it feels like. Thank God we don't go by feelings. My Bible says, if we were buried with Him, for if, verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. For God to complete the work that He started through justification, remember last week or the week before we talked about justice if we never sin, He had to eradicate sin in us and unite us with Him. He changed our nature. He did what nobody else could do. He changed my nature. My mom tried to change my nature with the switch. Come on, somebody. My high school, when it used to be okay to spank people, tried to change my nature with the Board of Education that hung on my principal's wall. It was called the Board of Education. And he had holes in it so it could swing better. He tried to change my nature. Come on, somebody. Anybody else there? When I went to the military, I used to do 50 push-ups every time I saw my drill sergeant because I was a kind of a mess up. I fouled up quite a few times. So every time he saw me, he'd say, "Drop and give me 50. My drill sergeant tried to change my nature. Come on, somebody. When I started to have relationship with women and things like that, they tried to change my nature. Come on. But nobody was going to change my nature. I was who I was. Turn to somebody and say, he's talking about me. Come on. We were who we were. We couldn't get our nature changed. We'd always go back. We'd discipline ourselves. I was the greatest guy about New Year's resolutions. I'd make all these fantastic resolutions, and by the 10th, I couldn't even tell you what they were. I tried to change my nature. When I got in trouble with the law, I tried to change my nature. Come on, somebody. I couldn't do it. Whenever I came to Jesus Christ and said, Jesus, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. I ask you to come into my life. And Jesus justified me through his blood. But secondly, he had to eradicate sin in me. So he separated me from my sin so that it has nothing to do with me anymore. I'm a new creation, and he changed my nature. And for the rest of my life, I'm being introduced to me. Come on, somebody. And the best illustration I can come up with this morning is when I got up this morning and I got ready to come here to church, I didn't struggle with whether I was a man or a woman. I didn't do it. I got up and I figured, you know, I'm a guy. I need to wear shoes, socks, pants. Wasn't worried about what or how I would look or what I needed to shave. So I shaved. Come on, somebody. I've been a man since I was born. Revelation. Neither should I struggle with the nature that God has given me. My nature is divine. Somebody say, my nature.
My nature.
Come on, my nature.
My nature
is divine.
Is divine.
There's a divine nature within me. God has separated me from the old man and given me a new nature. This I'm talking about. Listen, I'm putting some good stuff in you because I'm talking about the process of sanctification. God can sanctify an unsaved person. 2 Peter 1:4, for those taking notes, says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We are partakers of the divine nature. So he separated me, he eradicated sin. Secondly, he makes us holy and pure. He separates from the world, but he also separates everything that is impure and unholy in me.
Amen.
The only way that I can be impure and unholy is by choice now.
Right.
I can choose to do the wrong thing because I'm free. One of the most dangerous statements in the Word of God is, he who the Son makes free is free indeed. I'm free to make a choice every day. I can either do evil or do good. That's why God says, choose you this day. I set before you two paths. One, the other, choose life that you might
live.
Come on. When I was a sinner, I tried to change my nature, my principal, my drill sergeant. I tried to change my nature. I couldn't do it. I was headed for death. I couldn't help myself. I sinned because that was my nature to sin. Come on, somebody. When I got saved, my nature changed. Mark 7:17. Turn to Mark with me this morning. Turn to Mark. Mark chapter 7. Lord, give me the right words. Mark 7, 17. When he had entered a house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And so he said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enters a man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and is eliminated, thus purifying all foods. And he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, idolatries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. So now, if that's what defiles us, how many know God did a good job by removing it from us?
Amen. Sure.
If it defiles us, God did not leave it there. He cleansed us from all unrighteousness. How does that stuff get back in there? By choice. It was there by nature before. Now it's there by choice. We choose to look at what we shouldn't look at. We choose to hear what we shouldn't hear. We choose to harbor unforgiveness in our hearts. We choose to. And we create this science fiction place that doesn't exist. It's not recognized by God because it's born of the flesh. Here's our enemy, the flesh, our five senses, what we smell, what we hear, what we taste, what we touch. Come on, somebody. And I choose to not walk or talk or act like the world. But I'll be renewed in my mind. See? By the washing and cleansing of His Word, I'll be renewed because my nature is divine. Therefore, I do divine things. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. Thirdly, He means to bring us to moral perfection. God's goal is to have us be victorious in Him. Not always reaching for it, but never quite getting it. His goal is that a generation would be powerful representatives of His purity and His holiness. Come on, somebody. That's what He's looking for. That's what He's looking for, to change our environment. If we're going to have environmental change, it has to change within us. These questions that He's asking here in the first couple of verses of Romans 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And then He says, how shall we who died to sin, say died to sin, live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? These are rhetorical questions. These are questions that you know the answer to, but if you don't know Jesus Christ, people look at that and say, what is He talking about? But you and I should know what He's talking about. See, because our nature is no longer that old nature that couldn't understand and then always fought, and everybody tried to change us. We even tried to change us. We couldn't do it. God says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. The greatest miracle I can do for you is I'll change who you are. You're born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new again. All things have become new. And that new is in the present perfect tense. It's not new 24 years ago or 10 years ago or 6 months ago. It's new every day. The timeless God is living in us. He's not prone to time. We say, well, I had an experience 24 years ago when I was born again. No, my friend, you're born again every day, every second, every time you breathe in, breathe out. The eternal God is in you. You are new every second. We say, well, I don't understand that because I've got watch, I've got hours, I've got thoughts, I've got memories. Yes, and you've got to put them under the blood of Jesus Christ and say, I'm new today. All things have become new. Man. See, in Paul speaking to this, he says, we were buried with Him, yet Paul says, if, and that's the faith gap. For if we have been buried with Him, surely we'd be in the likeness of His resurrection. That's coming into agreement with the Word. I don't care how I feel. See, because I can feel like I'm very much alive. As a matter of fact, it's taught in a lot of seminaries and a lot of churches. We teach that we've got to deal with the old man. Every other week they have altar calls and people get up there and get saved all the time. No, I'm saved. It's settled in heaven. The gavel has been brought down. I've been justified. Now God wants to do something with that justified guy. Not just going back and forth and back and forth, but growing in his likeness, becoming powerful. So that when I speak, I'm like my Father in heaven. Woo! Listen, listen, because we begin to speak and we create a godly environment. When I speak in a group of people, if I go into a restaurant or I go into a place of business or I go to my job or I go to, and I begin to speak the word of the Lord, things change, my friend. Atmospheres change. Minds are open. Hearts are open. I've prayed. I know who I am. Come on, come on. The devil got a hold of this a long time ago. Man, he took a generation in the 60s and changed the whole nation because of their presence. Baptism into this is a fantastic truth. When we accepted Jesus and what He did for us, we became one with Him and were declared righteous. Now, if you were here the last couple of weeks, righteousness was imputed to us. That means it was God made us righteous. You're righteous because of my Son. I made you righteous. That means that although our sins were ever before us, God declared us righteous, forgot all our sins, and identified us with Christ. We were buried with Him. We walk in newness of life. Watch what it says in verse 5. For if, and you should be underlining, for if we have been united together in the likeness of His death. You're the only one that can say that. Are you born again? Certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that knowing is means that you've settled it forever, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, eradicated, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. God made me Teflon. Sin don't stick to me. Come on, somebody. Sin can come by me, it can frustrate me, it can tempt me, but I'm not going to take it in, I'm not going to walk in it, because my nature doesn't even accept it. Amen. What I used to be a slave to, now I am master over. Woo! Hallelujah! That's good stuff. If you first know that you have been entered into His death, if, because He died for you and He made you a new creation, then we shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Christ's resurrection body had no limitations. It was holy in every way. We're in the likeness of His resurrection. My Jesus, when He showed up in a closed room, did some powerful things. He ate, He passed through walls, He did all kinds of things. He had resurrection power. If that same Spirit that raised Him from the dead dwell in me, does the Spirit of God dwell in you today? That's all I want to know. And if it does it have any limitations?
No.
If. That's a big word. And it's got to be accepted by faith. Christ's resurrection body has been given to us. His resurrection power through the Holy Spirit. Sanctification has three stages. We were sanctified by the virtue of the new birth. The second part, we are being sanctified daily by the Lord. He is working in us. He cleanses us every day. He reminds us every day. Don't you kid yourself. God is always doing His job. We don't have to remind Him, God, you're supposed to wake me up at a certain time. God, you're supposed to speak these things to me. The Holy Spirit knows His job. The Holy Spirit's always constantly speaking to us. We just have the squelch button off. God's always giving us all the ammo we need. Because why? Because He justified us. Because we're His children. We have the nature of Christ. And so all the information that we need is coming to us at all times. You say, well, I don't feel like that, Pastor. Well, I don't know what to tell you. tuned in to what the Holy Spirit is doing. Romans 6 is a victorious chapter. It's one of the most misunderstood. Romans 7, one of the most misunderstood, because we feel like we need to do something. We've got to add something. We've got to be something. No, God already did. He already did. He already added. He already is. God says, I don't want to go back and have to do that again. The foundation has been laid. I'm looking for a victorious generation. I'm looking for people who know who they are in me. Then the third part of the sanctification, of course, is holiness and sanctification. And one day we'll be glorified, we'll be like Him, because we'll know Him because we'll be exactly like Him in body, soul, and spirit. I can't wait to see my glorified body. Woo! Man, because, you know, little aches and pains. Come on, anybody over 35? Little aches and pains that we have that, man, one day we're going to be, woo! Man, I can't wait to see that body. Hallelujah. He does all things good. Listen, my friend, never doubt the new life that has been given you. Never doubt it. The enemy will come in and try to tell you it's just a bunch of hogwash, that you've got something that, you got something, it's good, but it's not going to last that long. Man, it's forever. It's eternal. Never identify with sin. Never say, I am a sinner. Listen, there are people that will argue with me, and that's okay. I agree to disagree, but I'll tell you what, I think it brings more bondage to people than anything else. When we say, I'm a sinner, you're not a sinner. Don't ever say that. The Word never says that you're a sinner. Once you're a new creation, you're a new creation. How can you be a new creation and be a sinner? You can't be. You can't identify. You begin to confess that you're a sinner. It's just like an adult confessing you're a teenager. Yeah. You can't ever get back there. Thank God. <Yeah. laughs> I'm no longer a sinner. I don't want to identify with that. Listen, when I say that, it's defiling the temple that Christ has purified by His blood. We're speaking doubt and unbelief. We're telling God that that gavel brought down in heaven is not really true. We're telling God, when He declared us righteous forever, eternally, never to be brought back up again, never to be tried again, because our sins are forgiven. If you've sinned, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching better than you're saying. Amen. Never confess with your mouth the things that God has already done for you. Never do it. Don't do it. Practice it. Come against it. If you've done it in the past, repent. If you're doing it now, repent. And get in this thing of saying, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Everything that I do is blessed because my Father has given me instructions. God is not surprised. He's not addled. He's not upset. He's not saying, I can't believe we've got to face this thing. Look at this. It's 2013. I didn't know my church was going to, I'm going to equip these guys. No, He's already done it. There's no master plan being formulated in heaven right now for your life. It's already been done. It's tried and true. Why? Because it's Jesus and He's perfect. Amen. He lives in me. Verse 6 in the Amplified, Romans 6:6. We know that our old unrenewed self was nailed to the cross with Him in order that our body, which is the instrument of sin, might be made ineffective and inactive for evil, that we might no longer be the slaves of sin. Woo! Man, that's some firework stuff right there. We know that our old unrenewed self was nailed to the cross with Him in order that our body, which is the instrument of sin, might be made ineffective and inactive for evil, that we might no longer be the slaves of sin. The Living Bible says it this way, your old evil desires were nailed to the cross with him. That part of you that loves to sin was crushed and fatally wounded, so that your sin-loving body is no longer under sin's control, no longer needs to be a slave to sin. Man, that's good stuff. Our nature is now divine, 2 Peter 1:4. The old man has died. To die means to be unable to operate. If you're dead, you cannot. Someone once said, when the horse dies, dismount. Come on, somebody. If the horse is dead, get off of it. When we declare that we are sinners, we negate the Word of God and make it of no effect. I can't drive that home enough. Don't identify with that nature. Don't do it. You're frustrating the plans of God. Amen. When you say, I'm righteous and I'm holy and I'm without sin, you're not giving glory to yourself, you're giving glory to Jesus. You couldn't do it anyway, you ugly thing. Come on. We could never do it. That's why God had to come into us and give us Jesus and make us divine. It's His nature in me. Woo, come on. My God does all things well. Essentially, we have created a place, if the battle that, and I've counseled, talk with people, this place that does not exist becomes a real place. It becomes, many Christians are living in that valley of indecision. It's sad. It's sad. People don't know who they are in Christ. Either they've gotten false teaching, because we want something to do. We want a horse in the race. And we want to have God make it my responsibility to make me saved. Man, I want to contribute to this thing. God, look at my works. Man, I'm the man of the hour, God. And I've got some good things to say, and I've got these ideas. And could I have conference with you, because I've got some things I want to tweak about this. God says, no, your greatest righteousness is as do a study on that. I won't tell you what that really says in the original language. All of our righteousness is as filthy rags. The only righteousness accepted is Jesus Christ. Come on.
Amen.
But our minds have to have something to do with it. It doesn't mean we don't struggle with the flesh, because the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. But I don't have to. See, where before my nature was evil, it's not evil anymore. Amen. One day a farmer's donkey fell down into a well. The animal cried for hours as the farmer tried to figure out what to do, and finally decided the well need covered up, and the animal was old and it wasn't worth trying to retrieve. The donkey invited all his neighbors over to the house, and they began to shovel dirt into the well. At first, the donkey realized what was happening, and he cried horribly. Then, to everyone's amazement, he quieted down. A few shovel loads later, the farmer looked down the well and was astonished at what he saw. What was happening? Every shovel of dirt hit his back. The donkey did something amazing. He shook it off and took a step up on the dirt. As the farmer's neighbors continued to shovel dirt on top of the animal, he would shake it off and step on the dirt. Pretty soon, everyone was amazed as the donkey stepped up over the edge of the well and trotted off. Every trouble in life can be shaken off and turned into a stepping stone. Why? Because of who we are. You better not. The enemy, just as God doesn't forget his job, the enemy doesn't forget his job. Man, he attacks us everywhere. He tries to get us. He tries to find a chink in the armor. But every piece of dirt he throws on us, we can use to step on, because God has put me in a solid place. Hallelujah. He lifted me up out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock. Devil, you try to get me, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to stand on the truth of God's Word. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
My Bible says the righteous falls seven times and rises again, but the wicked stumble in times of calamity. I'm not a wicked man anymore. I don't need the rod from my mother. I don't need that, spiritually speaking. I don't need the Board of Education. Come on, somebody. I don't need to do 50 push-ups every day. I need to walk in what God has already done for me. The trouble is, we listen to this thing between our ears too much. And we let the window open from the world to our mind, and we fight this thing, these thoughts that we have in our head. Come on. Man, it's where the warfare is. Right. Somebody said the mind is the devil's playground. He shoots thoughts into our mind, and we start thinking. We wake up, and we say, now, what was it that, God, do you love me? Oh, God, I don't feel like you love me today. I don't feel loved. Yeah, that's right. God's mercy. God left you. You're on your own. We start fighting that thing, man. We're in that thing. Oh, I don't feel. I'm not. Am I really saved? God is my name. If it be your will, that's the term. That's the term we got to get out of our head. Of course, it's God's will that we're victorious. Come on, somebody. Of course it is. Of course it is. Why wouldn't it be God's word? God's word and God's truth that we're victorious and we're overcomers. Why wouldn't it be? He's God. He does all things well. He declared me righteous. So if I'm righteous, why am I in a mess? Because I've listened to the enemy. Very real. Battle's very real. My Bible says if I submit to God and resist the devil, he'll flee. Wow, you mean I could stand against the devil? Yeah. And God guarantees us victory. Our five senses make up the flesh. We are constantly being bombarded with temptations, perversions, distortions, and worldly ideals. But there is a difference. Before we had no choice but to sin. It was our nature. Now we have the power to overcome the things of the flesh. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Here's the secret. You say, well, Pastor Rick, you mean I can walk in the flesh? Yeah, you can walk in the flesh. Not the old nature, but you can walk in the flesh. What happens when we walk in the flesh? We sin. Watch what it says, Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Does not say, walk in the Spirit and you might not fulfill. It does not say, maybe if you're good enough, you'll not fulfill. On odd days or even days, it says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Lord. To say that we are sinners is to say that our nature has not changed and we do things that we cannot stop. That's not true. Don't make it part of your vocabulary. I have a choice. Blame your own self if you fall into sin. It's your choice. You're completely free. You rule and reign with Christ. You have the power to rebuke the devil. You have the power to tell him, get off my finances, get off my health, get off my family, get off my town, get off my country, get off my president. We ought to start taking the authority that God has given us. Yes. Verse 8 says, now if we died with Christ, there that word is again, if. How many have died with Christ? Okay, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. Now, what I want you to do, if you, it's okay, if you can't write in your Bible, find somebody else's Bible and write in it. Circle him and put me right there. Because you're in him. Watch what it says. Death no longer has dominion over me. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word if appears again, if that happened, if we died with him, then there is a natural progression that follows that death. We live. Death no longer controls us. The death of sin, eternal separation from God, is no longer possible. We are on the highway of holiness. Amen. I am holy. I am righteous. I am just. Isaiah 35:8 says, a highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Say, I'm an other. That road, that highway of holiness is for you and I. You say, well, you mean I can put together strings of victory? You mean I can walk from day to day and be victorious? I can lay my head down at night on my pillow as a victor? My friend, it's not only possible, it's a done deal in him. In him. Three things are impossible now that we have passed from death to life. You ready? Number one, the old life is impossible. You are a new creation. I can't live like I used to live because that old guy is dead. We had the burial. We buried him, me and Jesus. For as many as were baptized into him have died in him. Amen. That's a done deal. I can't get a hold of the old guy because the old guy is dead. I'm not a grave robber. I'm not going back digging up the grave. I'm not looking for anything that was buried with him. I'm not going back looking for artifacts that I put in there, rings and money and things like that. It's like the old guy is getting ready to die, and he said to his wife, I've got lots of money in the bank, and I want you to make sure that all the money, I want you to get the money out of the bank, and I'm going to make sure all the money dies with me. It's going to be put in my casket. She said, fine. On the day of the funeral, she was there, and somebody saw her writing a check. She put it in the, put it in the casket. And there you go. The old life is impossible. Secondly, the old service is impossible. We cannot serve the devil. This is the reason some are miserable. They're trying to find a way back and there is no way. If you're born again, one of the saddest things is to see somebody that's been fixed and they don't walk in it. God fixed you, he fixed you good, but you're still trying to get back to live that old life. There's no worse thing than a sinner. What happens is the devil now plays all kinds of havoc with your life. Because now you've given him permission. Yeah. Thirdly, the old condemnation is impossible. You cannot be condemned if you are dead. Man, we're eagles and we're walking around like chickens. You could tell eagles that are walking around with chickens because they've got the wire, you know, that little wire in a chicken wire. The marks of it are on their face. They keep trying to fly and hit the fence. Walking around in chicken. Come on. What's chickens walk around in? And every once in a while you hear this, God, God. And you're looking around and you've got pock marks all over you. Because you, man, God wants to release you out of that to fly with eagles.
Amen.
He wants you to soar with eagles. Don't fuss around with chickens. Chickens can't fly. You're an eagle. God has caused you to be an eagle. God has given you everything to be an eagle. But we've been raised with chickens. We're walking around chickens. Even religious people that are chickens, they look good. Oh. They're pretty. God has given us. God has given us the glory to fly and to soar. As we wait on Him, we renew our strength. We'll rise up with wings as eagles. Eagles! God has caused us to be victorious. Know that you are an instrument of righteousness for His glory. Know that. There's no way you'll experience the new life in its fullness until you do these things. Know that you're an instrument of righteousness. Know that God has given you and placed you in this generation for His glory. Not for His work and sweat. He already worked and sweated. He wants you to be victorious. Man, He wants you to say, look at that guy down there. Look at that girl down there. Man, there's nothing that they can't do. They're speaking My name. And when they speak My name, whatever they lose will be loose. Whatever they bind will be bound. Man, can you see that generation?
Hallelujah. Glory.
Oh. Wow. Reckon it to be so, secondly. Never be moved. Make a determination right now, that you will never disagree with His revealed Word again. Never. Don't say things that aren't in the Word. If you don't know if it's a Word or not, keep your mouth shut until you find out. Go study for yourself. Get your Bible. Get on your knees. Say, Holy Spirit, show me. And the Holy Spirit will show you. Well, how do I know that? Pastor Rick, I don't, what the Holy Spirit will show me? I'm not educated. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will remind you of everything I said. Oh, come on, somebody. The Holy Spirit knows. Yield to the power of the Holy Spirit within you. Romans 6:13. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Now He's talking to new believers. He can't talk to sinners like this, because sinners wouldn't know what to do. He's talking to people that have the mind of Christ. He's saying, do not present. He's talking to free people. So you have your choice to present your body as an instrument of unrighteousness, and the end thereof is sin. Or you have the ability to present yourselves to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin, verse 14, shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace.
That's right.
What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. There's another rhetorical question. We're not going to do that. Do you not know that to whom you present, underline, present yourselves, slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. Yeah. Oh, man. It's beautiful words.
Yeah.
But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, You became slaves of righteousness. It doesn't say you can become. You will become. Perfect attendance at church will make you become. It says you have become slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. When our nature was sinful, we were sinful. Nobody had to tell me to sin. Thank you very much. I don't need your lessons. I know how to sin and I do it very well. Thank you very much. But now I'm a slave of righteousness. For verse 20, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. Glory to God. Everlasting life moving in me. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Read it and understand with spiritual eyes as the new creation that you are. You cannot be slaves of sin. Why? Because you have been made free. John 8:34, Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Woo, man. I'll preach it better than you're saying amen. Pastor Rick, I don't feel very free. Rearview mirror is this big. Windshield's that big. Let's forget what's been past. Today's a new day. I'm a new creation. I can walk in Him. Danger lies in decisions that welcome sin. If you make a decision to welcome sin, you are going to reap what you've sown. Hold on, just a few more minutes, come on. I mean, we've hit this thing now 6 ways to Sunday. See, Romans is just repeats itself. The first 6 chapters, it just can't, again and again, Paul comes from every way possible because he knows he's got to get something in us. You know why? Because we're thick-headed. Yeah. Again, we want a horse in the race. We want to contribute to this thing. And God says, no, you don't understand. I've already made you divine. I've already made you righteous. There's nothing you can do. All you got to do is walk in it. But here's the danger now. Here's the caveat. You have your Bibles. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2. Everybody okay? Everybody all right? Come on. Are you okay? Have I hurt you? Or? Come on. I'm not out to hurt you. I'm out to set you free, man. I can't set you. I just want to know that God already set you free. I'm just. 2 Peter chapter 2. For if, there's that word again, if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that knowledge is epikinosis, or the knowledge that God gives. Epigenoskis in the original language. It's the knowledge of God. They are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Here's the danger now. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, that known epikinosis, the way of righteousness, than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. My friend, it saddens me to even think about it. I've got to give you this warning. This freedom that we have. This freedom that you and I have. We have a decision every day of what to do with the freedom God has given us. And if we choose to go the wrong way, man, we are bait for the devil. He's waiting. The devil's waiting for us to speak death out of our mouth. He's waiting for us to come in agreement with him. He is a legal expert, and he will attack and destroy you. Give him an inch, he'll take your life. That's where the warfare is. That's the flesh warring against the spirit. That's the thing the enemy comes in just a little bit. Just a little bit. Oh, you married this woman, but you can't stay married to her. You're going in two separate directions. Oh, you've got to steal. You've got to steal from your company. Oh, you can, oh, this says the law is this, but you can do this. Whatever the devil starts to put in our mind and mix with our flesh and mix with our five senses, he's put it in there. We begin to speak it out of our mouth. No, I don't love that woman anymore. No, I don't like my company. I can cheat on it. No, whatever that thing is, it begins to hit. He just comes and starts to drag you. Now, legally, he's dragging you into a place that does, that is not made for you, but you live in. Don't do it. This mind of ours, it's a battlefield. It's a battlefield. The enemy just loves putting thoughts in our mind. You ever been praying along? You're just praying, you're glorifying God, and all of a sudden this just thoughts come into your head. You say, where'd that come from? Come on, anybody else?
Yeah.
Or you just kind of drive it down the road, and you hear something on the radio, or you hear something, and thoughts come in your mind, murderous thoughts or hateful thoughts, or those thoughts that come in. Come on, am I the only one? Come on. As thoughts come in our mind, and then our mind has a connection switch with our mouth. And sometimes before we think about it, we open our mouth. We vomit that thing out. The enemy says, it worked! That evil thought worked! Now he begins to build on that. Now we're fighting all kinds of things because we add thoughts to it, and we love to be part of the thing. Just like we do with God, our flesh wants to be part of. Now that we're on that primrose path to sin, we begin to add to it. It started as a temptation. Now we're speaking out of our mouth. The enemy says, let's go. Lust, envy, strife, jealousy, everything. Go. Go after that guy. Go after that girl. Come on. Get them in that sin. Get them in it. And it begins to entangle us. And then if we don't repent, he begins to wrap it around us. And then we're all of a sudden we're bound. We can't have good thoughts. We feel like God's a million miles away, and God's right there. He's waiting for us to cry, help! It all starts with that thought. When that thought comes in, you are not alone. Man, I have those thoughts all the time. That's the devil's job. He sticks those thoughts in us. Right away, as soon as we get those thoughts, we take it under authority of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Say, that's not a thought that I want to have. That's not a thought that I have. I glorify God. I love my wife. I'm going to be a good employee. I'm going to be a good person. The President of the United States is somebody that God appointed, so I got to pray for him. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Then the devil goes, that didn't work. Let's go find somebody else. You are now divine by nature and design. You're a slave of righteousness by virtue of what Christ did. In the past, you presented yourselves as slaves of uncleanness, willingly and without guilt. Now, do the same as a new creation. Present yourself as instrument of righteousness to God. Just say, God, use me as an instrument of righteousness. God's truths are null and void in the life of a Christian unless we come into agreement with them. Just because we have truth in our hand or read truth with our eyes, if we don't come in agreement with it, it becomes null and void. We have to move on it. Woohoo! Fact is, you have been set free from sin. Fact is, you have become slaves of God. Fact is, your end is holiness and everlasting life. Now act like it because of Him who is in you. Say, I'm 10-foot tall and bulletproof. I am 10-foot tall. I am living a victorious, overcoming life. I'm no longer what the world says I am. I'm no longer what the devil says I am. I've been set free from sin and made righteous in God. Where I walk, devils tremble. When I speak, devils run. When I say things, the devil's got to go. Sickness doesn't have any part of me. Prosperity is mine. I'm glorious because of God that's in me. I walk in victory. I have my nature is divine. I am walking in the truth and righteousness of a holy God. Yeah. Although I was formerly alienated, hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, Jesus Christ has reconciled me in His own body on the cross that I, being dead to sin, might live unto righteousness by whose stripes I was healed. Body, soul, and spirit. I don't have thoughts that are sinful. I don't have feelings that are sinful. Sickness shall have nothing to do with me because I am a child of the living God. Come on, somebody. And man, you get a group of people that believe like that and walk like that without being weird.
There you go.
I'm not talking about weirdness. We've all been around those weird people. Confidence does not breed weirdness.
Amen.
Some of you walk around and act like a bunch of idiots. It means that we walk divinely. We walk divinely and we walk in victory. And when somebody asks us of the hope that's within us, we cast all our care on Him, for He cares for us. And we actually have the right words to say to them. You watch, people will start coming to you and saying, man, can I talk with you? I see so much peace in you. What's the deal? I see everybody else getting upset. You're not getting upset. What's going on? People come to you and say, you and your wife, I see you and your wife together. What's going on? What's the secret? There isn't any secret. It's God.
Yeah. Amen.
It's God. That's what He's looking for. He's looking for a generation who know who they are in Jesus Christ. Yeah. Romans 6, man, it's the gospel wrapped up in 23 verses. Yeah. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. Romans 6, 1 through 23, memorize it. Make it part of your vocabulary. Speak it. Come into agreement with it. Because I'll tell you what, there's nothing like... You say, well, if everybody's walking in victory, what do pastors and evangelists and apostles and prophets do? They got to take care of the body. Man, we're equipping you for the work of ministry. So you turn around and tell somebody else. Each one tell one. Each one win one. We begin to talk to the world like we know what we're talking about. The world listens. We're being drawn by, they're being drawn by the Holy Spirit to the righteous. We're lights to the world. We're salts to the earth. We're not losing our flavor or losing the light. We begin to walk in victory. And I'm not saying you have it. Maybe this is all rehearsal for you. Maybe it's just, it's just revamping. Man, I got that a long time ago. Pastor, well, thank you. That's good. That's good. Come, help me. Help me walk in victory. I'm praying for you that you're victorious in everything that you do. I am. When I pray for you, I say, man, make them victorious. Glory to God. Yeah, I'll pray for sickness. Yeah, and we're going to pray now. But much rather, pray for continued victory. I'm walking in health. I'm walking in wholeness. I'm walking in prosperity. Woo! Glory to God. You talk about, there'd be lying outside this place. Man, whatever they got, we want whatever they got there. Not the latest and greatest, but the eternal. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you for your word in our hearts. I thank you, God, that you love us, that you care for us, that there's that Father, you took care to provide all of our need according to your riches and glory in Christ. Father, you supplied everything we need to walk in victory. And God, Father, we relate to that. God, we grab that. We walk in it, Father. Help us to be victorious in every way. Lord, you provided for us. Now, God, give us. Lord, we choose to take that which is ours and walk in it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now,